Stephen Quayle with us. We're going to take your phone calls with him as we talk about Jade Helm 15, Earth Changes, Giants, you name it. We've got it tonight for you on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, Stephen Quayle with us and your call. Stephen, why did the Giants end up as cannibals?
Well, it was interesting because in Numbers, the book of Numbers, Joshua and Caleb go into the promised land to spy it out, and they said, we were as grasshoppers. They said that the inhabitants, meaning the giants, devour one another. I think it's twofold, George. Number one, the thing is that they had, and pun intended, they had a big appetite, but also I believe it was based on, a genetic encoding in their very DNA from their fallen angels to basically destroy mankind, okay? That was the purpose of Satan coaxing or commanding the 200 original fallen angels to come down on Mount Hermon and pollute the human race, okay? The Bible promised that Jesus, the Redeemer, would come at a point in history. And so I believe that the whole idea was to wipe out mankind. And interestingly enough, you can't go anyplace. South America, we know about the Aztec, Incas, and Mayans. It used to be they wanted, you know, the historians wanted to deny that they were cannibals. Tom Horn, Chris Putnam in the West, they talked about the Native Americans and the experts of their old real traditions talking about the giants. You probably heard this, and maybe they talked about it, coming through the portals and eating the natives. You know?
Yeah, they just wiped them out.
They just wiped them out. And Easter Island used to have a curse. And do you remember when the Easter Island statues called the Moai, M-O-I, were, you only saw from basically just a little bit below the shoulders up, and finally someone started to
dig down.
Yeah, dig down. They found out these were really big guys. They had a curse. National Geographic carried it, and it said, your grandmother's flesh lies rotting in my teeth, okay? So they literally ate themselves out of existence. And what's you can't get away from it, the desert Southwest, the Anasazi, the ancient ones, it was just a horrific, and that's what a lot of people don't understand about the Aztecs, Incans, and Mayans. Not only did they have all their human sacrifices tearing the hearts out of their victims, but they ate them, okay? They ate them. So they could have literally had famines due to weather, and ultimately, you know, you got two of the guys. Who's the last man standing? The guy, obviously, with the toothpick.
Steve, the Yellowstone caldera, then we'll go to these calls as they line up here for you. They've just said that the magma flow underneath is now much larger than they anticipated.
Well, absolutely, and but I want to share something. Alaskan earthquakes and Alaskan seismic events, the pool actually heads north up through Canada into Alaska, okay? And I actually am pretty much intimately aware of the latest project to map it. One of my friends was up there taking photos of it. He happens to work for a major magazine. I won't say which one, but you could probably guess, the biggest photographic magazine in the world. And the idea that Yellowstone's going to blow, people've got to understand that 50% of the geothermal features in the world are pretty much present and resident in Yellowstone. It's got tens of thousands of vents. As you know, I fly over it. I take aerial pictures. I was just down there a couple weeks ago. I monitor the shift. I'm probably one of the only guys, just because I live so close and I go down there in less than an hour, 30 minutes in a helicopter. And over 40 years, George, I've taken pictures of all the mineral terraces, the springs, Old Faithful, Giant Geyser, all the main Castle Geyser. Yeah. And I can tell the calcification taking place of calcium carbonate, where you used to have all these colors. The colors, by the way, in the images that you see of Yellowstone, those are called thermophile bacteria, and each bacteria has a specific range in which it can live. I mean, some of them are just within a tenth of a degree, and that's what produces the color. Well, to say all that, you can see that the whole, if you will, Yellowstone plate is shifting to the south. That's why Jackson Hole had a massive landslide, what it was a year or two ago. But the fascinating thing is when Alaska has seismic issues, that's when Yellowstone, I've personally been in Yellowstone Park when they've had hundreds of, you know, micro tremors. But the idea that it's going to blow, there's so much pressure that's being released and has been released. It's just like I think I've shared on Coast before, the BBC and somebody else emailed me before the Banda Aceh quake and the obviously the tsunami that killed so many people. And so we want to come to Bozeman and film you and talk about the imminent blowing up of Yellowstone. I said, good luck, guys. You need to get down to the South Pacific. Yellowstone's not the issue. What I can tell when I fly over Yellowstone Park is, and obviously in the winter, I know where the main vents are, and when there is absolutely no melt of the ice over the biggest vent in the middle of Yellowstone Lake, there's nothing going on there, okay? So they can say the magma chamber's four times, six times, and people say, well, it's going to blow, it's going to blow. Well, the point being is that there are other areas right now that are blowing, and Yellowstone is not one of them, because people forget we had the great big earthquake in that part of the country, and it released a lot of stress on the plates and stuff. So, you know, Yellowstone is the least of my personal worries, okay?
All right, let's go to the phones now. Stephen Quayle with us. We'll go to Danielle in Cleveland, Ohio to get things going. Hi, Danielle. Go ahead.
Hi. God bless you guys. Thank you, Stephen Quayle, for all the good work you do and the research. I, too, believe that the church is going to go through the Great Tribulation. But I have two questions, one concerning the Angel of the Bottomless Pit in Revelation 9/11, it talks about they have a king over them, Apollo, and in 1969, the paperclip boys, the SS essentially, put the Apollo mission on a Saturn V rocket, And there's a lot of
Let me try to help you out here, Daniel. What are you trying to say?
Well, I'm wondering, I believe that prophecy or this scripture was fulfilled in 1969 when the Apollo 11 landed on the moon. And also, my second question concerns Habakkuk chapter 1, where it talks about they have they make men as the fishes of the sea, and there's a net over the entire earth. This is a prophecy about the last days.
What do you think of those two, Steve?
Well, number one, I disagree that Apollo landing on the moon is anywhere related. Apollyon is basically, you know, the destroyer like Abaddon. And when that day happens, it's in the time period where all hell breaks out on earth. When she's talking about Habakkuk in the net, I'm not really sure what she's referring to. So I can't answer that because I don't understand the question.
Okay, very good. Let's move on. Let's take Les in Wahoo, Nebraska. It's your turn, Les. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
It's a blessing. Two of my favorite guests are Steve Quayle and Linda Moulton Howe, and here I get to talk to Steve.
There you go.
At any rate, this morning or today when my wife came home, we went through the mail, and we got a notice from a credit card company that we have a zero balance on.
Okay.
And they're canceling us.
Why?
I guess that we must be some threat with our credit or something. I mean, we're definitely haven't handled our money good over the years.
How much was, let me ask you two questions there, Les, if I can. What was the total credit line?
Well, I'm not really sure. Can I mention the store in which it's at?
Wait, is it a store credit card or a like a Visa MasterCard?
Well, I think it's a MasterCard through that store.
And is it a big chain?
Yeah.
What's their name?
Penny's.
Penny's. Well, the Penny's is having trouble. Lots of trouble. So they may be, if your credit is so-so, they may be dumping out of this fast.
Yeah, that could be. I thought it might line up with some of the stuff that Steve was talking about earlier with what's going on. But another thing, one of my friends was studying at a Hebrew synagogue, even though she's a believer, and she was all excited and called me and told me that Elijah and the fiery chariot
Mm-hmm.
He said that that was actually properly interpreted would not be fiery chariot, but it was actually highly polished brass. And I kind of thought about that when Steve mentioned that particular scripture. And the third thing, I wanted to let Steve know, I've left some messages for him to call me. I'd love to talk to him privately sometime, but I'm a retired backhoe operator. And if he goes on any of these digs for giant bones and stuff like that,
you're ready.
I've got a really, really good hand on the machine. And I would love to serve the Almighty by helping Steve at any time he'd want.
All right. There you go, Stephen.
Well, thank you very much. You know, I just want to deal with the brass. You know, the thing is that brass in the Bible, especially in the old the tabernacle in the wilderness, is always a time, they use the word brazen, is always a time of a word of judgment. The word for flame in the Hebrew, so I can't argue that because I can't pull it out of my head right now. But the bottom line in the whole issue is not, you know, was it a golden chariot, a brazen chariot, or a silver chariot? The fact is that Elijah did not see death, and he even prophesied to Elisha, if you will, his understudy, that if Elisha saw Elijah when God took him, because Elijah knew that he was going to go to heaven, literally be taken up in the heavens, the point is that Elisha would get double the spirit of Elijah. So the issue there in my book isn't, and I believe in the Bible too, isn't the color of the chariot, but basically the fact that God took him.
We've got lots of callers, and we've got Cornelius in Alexandria, Louisiana now. Cornelius, my friend, go ahead.
Hey, Steve and George, and, of course, my great friend Tommy. I'm here in Alexandria, Louisiana, 9:70 a.m. We listen to y'all.
Yes, you do. And, thank you.
Yeah, Steve, I'm going to be listening to Skywatch, too. It's on the Dish Network, so I'll be looking forward to some of your stuff on there with Tim Horn and stuff. My question is, and I'm glad you said we're going through the tribulation and stuff, because a lot of believers, they think they're going to be carried off and won't go through anything. I hope you'll give us kind of a time frame. I know with this JDM 15 and stuff, maybe a time frame where we can kind of get ourselves together. I think, George, I thank you for getting my Patriot Supply and stuff. And I hope y'all get on with Glenn Beck and stuff and Jim Baker. So just a little time frame where we can get ourselves together. And God bless you and thank y'all so much.
Okay. Let me ask you a question, Stephen, about the rapture. We had the Harold Camping a couple of years ago before he died, the radio station owner, talking about how people were going to get taken and they emptied their bank accounts and everything else and nothing happened. And his group basically is still saying that, the same thing. They've now put another date. I think it's October. And they keep coming up with this. What is the rapture, and what does it really mean?
Well, in my opinion, how many times do they have to be wrong before, you know, they admit that maybe they got it wrong? 1988, flashback, there was a book named Edward Wiesenhout, and, you know, I don't want to spell it, but that's how you pronounce it. 88 reasons why Jesus was going to come back in 1988. Every time someone sets a date, they have a new finding that moves it forward. It's kind of, I call the forever manana person, you know, factor. It's always tomorrow. The thing is that, and guys like I was one to the Lord Jesus through Hal Lindsey's ministry, but obviously I take a totally different view of the rapture than he does. The rapture is a taking away or a catching away, this is their definition, not mine, of the saints prior to the Great Tribulation. Jesus prayed to the Father that God wouldn't take his kids out of the world, but that he would keep them through it. The point that the Christians are at war, literally at war, and will be coming to war. Tom Horn wrote a book called Blood on the Altar, and it appears that if you want to get into a fight, take on the rapture. That's what I kind of alluded to earlier on the show, George. But the rapture is a coming for Jesus, separate and apart from his second coming, when every eye shall see him. Jesus said, as the lightning arise from the east to the west, so it's going to be during the time of the coming of the Son of Man. So the second coming of Jesus is when Jesus returns. Yet the rapture people believe that there's a great catching away prior to the second coming of Jesus. And obviously, guys like your caller, just the previous caller and myself, believe that the tribulation period, and by the way, I reject that 7-year tribulation. Jesus had 3.5 years of ministry on earth, 42 months, and I don't think God gives the devil twice what he gave his son. So saying that is the fact that the time frame I see as critical is from 2016 on. I believe we're going to go through the toughest 42 months the world has ever seen. And the Bible says if God didn't shorten the days, there would be no flesh left alive. Every last man, woman, child be wiped out. But he said, yet for the elect's sake, those days are going to be shortened. So the rapture is an event that people believe will get them out of this world before all the bad stuff in Revelation happens. That's simplistic. I mean, I have argued with people. They have their texts. I have my texts. But yeah. I say this, at least admit that things are getting really bad now. And I'm hoping that they take serious the admonition. Noah prepared to the saving of his family. It's funny, too, that your granddaughter would ask you that question, because that shows, how old is she?
She's going to be 21 next month.
Well, happy birthday to her ahead of time.
She's the oldest of the group. Believe
me. So 21, but yet that tells me that she's looking. See, I believe that I believe that the Bible has answers, and I'm not a classic quote evangelical Christian. I'm not. Those guys have a hard time with me because I don't buy the classic dispensationalism. That's one of the points of dispensationalism that they've taught. And camping was always wrong. Okay.
Always. Yeah.
Always. And so was Edward Wiesenhauer. And so were these guys, because it's always some new event. Now it's the Shemitah and the four blood moons, the tetrad. What happens when it doesn't happen?
The Shemitah is supposed to hit us in September.
Yep.
And the prediction is the stock market will plummet to nothing. That I've marked down. Let's see what happens on that one.
Right. And look, it's just like this. Here's what we know. We know there's going to be great earthquakes. We know Jesus said nation will rise against nation. That doesn't just mean Russia and China against the U.S. and, you know, everybody else in a global war. That literally means ethnic against ethnic. And look what we're seeing right now. We're seeing the greatest stirring up of ethnic strife. I maintain that civil rights were a lot better off before than they are now.
All right, Stephen, we're going to come back in a moment and take final phone calls with you in a very fast-moving program. Stephen Quayle, our special guest, his website linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. When we come back, we'll take your calls. And again, don't forget to just track us, follow us, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We've got Instagram up and running now, too, and that's working great. And if you need to follow where I am, you just go to the website, click events, or in most cases, right there at the highlight reel on the front page of the homepage, there it is. On our next Coast to Coast program, a psychic medium joins me for a couple hours. He's taking the planet by storm, and then we'll have those special open lines here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Stephen Quayle with us, and of course, we'll get to your calls in just a second as we wrap things up. Stephen, what projects are you working on now?
Well, the biggest thing I'm working on, George, and thank you for asking, is True Legends, the documentary film series. And I think I've mentioned on Coast so many times, I've been asked by the History Channel and A&E and everybody to come on and talk about giants. But they basically don't want to deal with the whole biblical aspect of it. So I'm taking on a series of producing 9 of the episodes that are an hour apiece. We've got 2 that we're working on. The first one's called Technology of the Fallen, and we're talking about Technology of the Fallen Angels. And people can go on and see that trailer at TrueLegendsTheSeries.com. That's T-R-U Legends, T-R-U-E, to like the word TrueLegendsTheSeries.com. The other thing I'm working on, and I think this is fascinating because it's a cross-cultural issue, Long Walkers was my first attempt at writing a novel about the fallen angels and the control of the history associated with them. So right now I'm working on an English version. You know, the Japanese, one of the biggest, hottest things going on in Japan now is the animation, they call it the anime, is the thing called The Attack on Titan. I don't know if you've seen that, about giant Giants that come in and eat all the people, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Well, what's interesting, I got a hold of a scriptwriter, and when you're writing a graphic novel, I don't have those skills, okay? And you have to break everything down into like a storyboard, and the conversation obviously is blowing out of proportion, and you give vignettes of each scene. So I'm hoping to have that out by late fall, and I'm kind of excited about
it. Good
for you,
Steve.
You know, when you see, and it's like an outstanding comic book artist. You know, I've got one of the best in the world. And Genesis 6 Giants, the new cover, I think you've seen that. It's on my website. That's actually a scene recreated by a guy named Lee Oakes of the Temple of Zeus. And Zeus was one of the giants. And it shows the actual size of the people in relationship to these. So Genesis 6 Giants and the whole Long Walkers and the whole True Legends. And what's fascinating about True Legends, the series, is that, again, it's going to go into all of the subjects that primarily the ancient alien guys overlook. You know, when we're talking about giants, we're talking about, the key to understanding history, the key to understanding technology, and people are telling me from all over the world, it's weird, Australia, New Zealand, Great Britain, are just buying this book up, and I think it's interesting because they live in the areas where giants are a normal part of their history, i.e., fee-fi-fo-fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman. And the London Daily Mail just carried an article on, now they're finding out that each person's bacteria on their skin is like their own fingerprint. Well, I've been told, like, and I'm talking live giants now in our modern day, hunt by smell. So I thought there's an interesting article coming from science on the London Daily Mail that validates what, again, the Special Operations Command guys told me. So people should take advantage of the new Genesis 6 book. People send me emails all the time. Thank you. Now I get it. And I think the trailer is outstanding. And thank you for looking at it. I sent it to Lisa. But again, the website is truelegendstheseries.com. So I've got my hands full. And like that one caller that called, I don't have time to chat. I don't even have time to sleep or think anymore.
How's our buddy Stephanie the singer doing?
Well, Stephanie's good. You know, she's in the studio doing another record, and she's doing a video. And
oh, good.
Yeah, and she called me today, Jordan, said, hey, Dad, I just got my motorcycle license. And I said,
oh no.
Yeah, and I said, are you kidding me? And, you know, she's got some adventure in her.
She does.
And so
wonder where she got that from.
Yeah, well, when she looks at me and I see her bad habits, she said, well, you know, I'm just like you. And I said, oh, Lord, help her.
Let's go to the calls. Debbie's in Toledo and now on Coast to Coast. Hello, Deborah.
Hi, what a great honor to talk with both of you guys tonight. And Stephen, I agree so much with everything that you say. And people are so misled about the rapture or whatever you want to call it, that we will go through it. And it's like you will go up in front of the Antichrist, and you've got to allow the Holy Spirit to go through you to talk, you know, when you're faced to him, to, you know, whether you're going to be a part of going with him or not. And people are just really misled with that. And I believe that the Antichrist is actually Satan himself, because he wanted to copy everything that Jesus did. And it just makes sense that the Antichrist will be Satan himself.
Well, the Bible teaches that, you know, Satan will enter into the Antichrist, and Jesus said this. You're absolutely correct. Jesus said, I came and received me not, but another will come claiming to be me, and him you will receive. And the word Antichrist, most people think that means against Jesus Christ. That means in place of Christ.
Instead of, right.
Yeah, instead of. And that's very astute, and I agree with you. You know, the problem is that most people who think they're getting out of here are not acknowledging, I think it's a psychological defense mechanism, the lateness of the hour. And when you see hundreds of thousands of Christians being slaughtered across the world, primarily in the Mideast and in Africa, and not a peep out of the administration, and there used to be a time when America stood for righteousness, America stands for nothing. And you know the old statement,
he who fails to stand for righteousness will fall for anything and will be taken over by unrighteousness.
Steve, I tried to get Doug Kagman on today. We couldn't find him tonight, just to give us a little reaction to Jade Helm as well. What does he think's happening there?
Well, I think, you know, I think it'd be great if you have him on, because he's got sources that are very, very much in the know. You know, people, look, there's some really great people still left in the military and still left in DHS and still left in the FBI, but they're worried for their families too. They know what they took an oath, and this is what's tough, because most military took an oath to, in the old days, took an oath to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Now we have the complete, in my opinion, takeover of the United States. This has always been a plan. That is a revolution. You cannot look at any nation that, quote, went communistic that didn't have a revolution. And when I see the mouthpieces of revolution stirring and continuing to stir, and a slanted, what I would call vomitous approach to news reporting in the mainstream, you know the agenda's in play, and unfortunately it's going to be very, very deadly.
Next up, let's go to Fresno, California. Ron's turn. West, Ron, you're on with Steve Coyle.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Hey, the thing about CERN, you know, what are they looking for there? They're looking for the God particle, right?
Yeah, well, they think they found it last time, but now they're going even further.
Well, you know what? You know what? Let me tell you. What are we going to do with the God particle? Try to create our own world or something? We'll just mess it up. But the one who really needs it is the one who has the power to rule over worlds and principalities and stuff, and the power to destroy worlds. But Satan doesn't have the power to create worlds. So if he gets the God particle, maybe that'll give him the power. So I think he's the one behind CERN.
What do you think, Steve Boyle?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, listen, Apollyon, which that lady asked us about, that means the destroyer, okay? And the destroyer, Sheba, is the demon that is the one that the CERN uses as their emblem. And they've even had dancers in the CERN facility. I'm talking like, modern dancers dancing to the destruction of the world. So the caller's absolutely right. Satan is behind CERN, and I say that CERN is the key, if you will, to all the locks of all the dimensions where all evil is going to be coming on the earth. And the lady asked about the key to the bottomless pit. By the way, Apollyon literally means a destroyer. When the Apollo module landed, it didn't destroy the moon, so that's why that is not the correct understanding. But you're absolutely correct. CERN is the attempt of the evil one to try and be creative like God. God creates ex nihilo, Latin for out of nothing. God speaks the world into existence. God said, let there be light. You know, it's like the scientists bragging about all the stuff they can make, and then they hear a voice from heaven saying, get your own dirt. You know, they've all got to work with something that already exists, and he who created that and spoke the worlds into existence will not come under the power of the fallen one who has always tried to mimic God, and even all of the surveillance network that's setting up worldwide. What are we seeing right now? The Pope just announced that obviously they're going to have a global meeting on the environment, and the environment, come on, God even says he's going to destroy those who destroy the earth. So it, in my opinion, is a quintessential move to a one-world government, a one-world religion, and a one-world currency. That's why the war on cash.
Steve, ever been to Orem, Utah?
Have I been to Utah?
Orem, yeah, Orem, Utah, because we're going there right now with Eddie.
Yeah. First time. I've been all over southern Utah. I think it's some of the prettiest country in the world.
Go ahead, Eddie.
Good morning.
Good morning, Eddie.
I have a question. Now, I just heard about this practice that's going to go with the military on probably like a month and a half ago. At work, a couple of coworkers are talking about it. And what should we expect?
Okay, you missed our first part of our program where we talked about this. Stephen, give us a Cliff Note version.
And I'm sorry, George, I couldn't understand because you cut out. What does he want?
About Jade Helm.
Well, Jade Helm, real simply, is this. It is the orchestrated undertaking by special operations to basically cover up, in my opinion, the going for the guns and internment of all people that are already designated on either the red list or blue list that they consider will be threats to the New World Order. Number one on that list is gun owners, always has been. Concurrent with that, veterans are the number one group of people, and next to veterans will be Christians. So I'm telling people that they better hit their knees and they better do what they believe that God is leading them to. Get right with God. That is the first thing, because again, we're going into perilous times. The Bible says men's hearts are going to fail them for looking after those things coming upon the earth. I don't believe the military ever tells the truth. I believe that one hand doesn't know necessarily what the other hand's doing. And you missed the first part of the show, but it's going to be a multifaceted, four-prong attack on everything. And I believe they're going to literally generate a war against Texas and the southern states. I believe they've got an agreement that's secret. This is what I've been told, to give back the desert Southwest, and that will become its new own country called Aztlán.
You know, I don't know, Stephen, if what is to become, if you believe in Revelation, is exciting or frightening. What is it?
I think to the one who puts his trust in God, and again, I'm speaking from a biblical standpoint, there's nothing to fear. Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. Do you know why God warns us about all this stuff? Is because he loves us. It's these guys in the occult world. The word occult means to hide something or to occlude it. And unfortunately, men like darkness rather than light. And this is why when there are secret things involved, like Jade Helm, and by the way, the U.S. military hates Jesus Christ. They've made war on him. Any Christians are kicked out. I don't know if you know that. If you are a pastor or a chaplain and you use the name of Jesus, it's an automatic get out of the military.
Really? I didn't know that.
Sir.
Let's go there.
So as the military makes war, and by the way, four years ago, I put up a word on my website. People can go look at it. Prophetic words. I'm not a prophet. I'm just a guy that basically is a watchman, have been for 40 years. And before the military turned against God and turned against the Christians, I put up a word, George. Basically, God said, I am against you, Pentagon, and your plans to make war against me and my people. They actually believe, like the caller's kind of inferring, that CERN will give them the ability to become gods, and they're actually thinking they can use that technology to war against God.
Steve, I'll always remember one of the programs we were doing when I was in St. Louis, but filling in on Coast to Coast, and while we were on the air, we were getting calls of some kind of military exercises, trucks moving. You remember that one?
Yes, I do.
And let's hope we don't have to go through that again with Jade Helm, but this is going to be a two-month-long program. So these military folks who are going to be there, do we know what the total number is, the participants?
Well, yeah. Well, first of all, we believe that we know that number because based on the military sources, it's in excess of 400,000. It's not just the 1,200 special ops guys, okay? Now, here's why. The United Nations, the white vehicles, and they're the Humvees, the up-armored Humvees with the 50 cal turrets and stuff.
Yep. 30 seconds, by the way.
Yeah, okay. The reason the United Nations is here is for 7277 to enforce. NATO troops will help to enforce the disarmament of the American citizens.
Stephen, thank you again for being on the program. I always look forward to your visits with us.
Thank you so much, George. Good night, everyone.
Stephen Quayle, website's linked up at coasttocoastam.com, at stevequayle.com. To all of you who are still on hold, and there are many, we just ran out of time. I'm sorry. Open lines, though, for tomorrow. Don't forget. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.